I think that people's quality of life is going to change dramatically on January 1st of 2020 if the ban expires.
On Monday of this week, Utah lawmakers heard a proposal having to do with the Legacy Parkway in Davis County. It was the second attempt at this year's legislative session to keep the highway as it is now, meaning quieter, slower, and free from heavy trucks. The road has noise-reducing rubberized pavement, a comparatively small footprint of four lanes total, and a 55-mile-per-hour speed limit. The reason the Legacy Parkway is the way it is has to do with a compromise struck between environmentalists and the state of Utah back in 2005, a deal to protect wetlands and wildlife along the highway's 11-mile corridor. That was after a lawsuit and a lot of back and forth over where the highway would go, how long it would be, and what kind of a road it would be. The parkway isn't a highway because of that compromise. But when that deal became law, the ban on heavy trucks on the road was given an expiration date, January 1st of 2020. Now, 14 years later, residents along the parkway, many of whom bought or built houses without knowing about that expiration date, are facing a troubling wake-up call. In less than a year, they could be seeing a lot more truck traffic in their otherwise relatively quiet neighborhood. I'm Roger McDonough, and this is In the Hive. Before we go any further in the show, I'll tell you what happened in that House committee meeting on Monday. Lawmakers turned down a bill that would have extended the ban on trucks on Legacy Parkway by an additional 5 years, meaning come January, that ban still expires, and semi-trucks could then be legally allowed on Legacy. It's really not all that surprising. The same thing happened in a Senate committee earlier this month when a bill to extend the ban by 2 years was presented there. Here's what representatives of the trucking industry and their allies have been saying in testimony over this.
We expect that that deal be honored and that we have the opportunity to use that highway.
Live up to the commitment. A deal is a deal.
Today, we feel a little bit like that was a deal made that should be kept.
It has been 15 years, plenty of time to address this issue. An agreement is an agreement.
Honor the commitment made 10 years ago to remove the ban and allow trucks to operate on a valuable highway in the Northern Salt Lake corridor.
But who made what commitment is maybe not that straightforward. While the law authorizing the parkway included a truck ban expiration, environmental groups say a hard and fast date to lift the ban on heavy trucks wasn't part of the deal that was reached. We'll get to that part of the story in just a little bit. But first, let's hear from one of the residents who will be impacted by the lifting of the truck ban.
My name's Angie Keaton, and I am a resident of North Salt Lake in the Foxborough neighborhood. Right now, we're actually on the north end of the North Foxborough Regional Park, and it runs right along the side of Legacy Parkway. We're actually at the trailhead that links up to the Legacy Nature Trail and the bike path. And lots of bike commuters go through here every day. I usually ride my bike once a day, a couple times a week with my dog, which is awesome. And it's peaceful and quiet. So this space is really a unique and awesome asset for the neighborhood, for this community of Foxborough. And, you know, right next to us, the next neighborhood down, Valentine Estates and Mountain View, there's a number of neighborhoods that, you know, run all the way up the length of Legacy Parkway, the entire 11 miles, really.
Back in January, I visited Angie Keaton alongside the Legacy Parkway, just a couple of blocks from her home. As you can tell, she likes where she lives. She likes the trails and parks that were byproducts of the original design of the Legacy Parkway, and she likes the parkway itself.
When it's clear, you can see Antelope Island from here, and a lot of these people purchased their homes with the idea that they would have that. The other features that are really amazing, and not all of them are impacted by the ban, but when they created the parkway, there's no billboards. You notice?
Yeah.
There's not a single billboard. Also, if you're driving out here at night, you'll notice it's very dark, so there really isn't a lot of lighting out here, and that's on purpose to help with the wildlife habitat for the birds, and it makes for this very surreal and serene place.
But since she learned just a couple of months ago now that the ban on heavy trucks on Legacy was slated to expire, Angie Keaton has been growing more and more concerned.
When I bought our home here 3 years ago in Foxborough, I had no idea that there was a possibility that it wouldn't continue, that it would run out. And I picked this up when I was listening to some of the news reports about the inland port. So I kind of shared that with the neighborhood. We have a pretty active Facebook page for Foxborough, and I kind of asked the neighbors, does anybody else know about this? And I'd say in my informal polling, 95% of residents here had no idea when they bought their homes.
Keaton says the major concerns for residents along the parkway include environmental and health considerations and the impact allowing heavy trucks on the road will have on property values and on children attending nearby schools.
There's a lot of concern about the noise. There's a lot of concern about diesel particulate exhaust, diesel particulate matter that's going up into the air that currently isn't. And what that could mean for the air quality for the homes and schools and playgrounds that bump right up next to Legacy Parkway. And if you're ever out here on the bike path, like we are right now, you can kind of see how very close these houses are to the roadway. In many cases, for most of the length, you see there's basically, wire fencing with some wooden posts. And that's all that's keeping trucks or cars or possibly, heavy truck semis from going off the road and into the backyards or into some of these homes. My son actually said to me, he said, right now, some of my friends have asthma and they can't be out on the playground. They can't go out and play. He said, if big trucks are coming up and down and there's more stuff in the air, then there are going to be more days when it's not going to be healthy for them to be out there. Like, this is my 7-year-old. And that playground backs right up to it. It's a district issue, too, because there are quite a few schools that kind of, if they don't back up directly, they're very close. So from a risk management perspective, it could surely be a concern for them, too. There's so many children here, over 800 students at Foxborough Elementary alone. There's Odyssey Elementary also backs up right to it. And there's a new development going in right around there called Shamrock Village. And then you've got the high school. Farmington High School is just built right along Legacy Parkway. And I think there's about 12 schools. There's about 12 schools that, are in that Redwood Road to Legacy Parkway corridor. That's a lot of kids. That's a lot of little lungs. And it's just, there's no question in the science about what that diesel particulate matter does to our bodies and increasing the cancer risk. So they're concerned about safety, noise, and the potential, the potential air quality impacts.
As far as those air quality impacts go, diesel exhaust from semis, like exhaust from cars, contains particulate pollution or soot, which can get deep into human tissues when we breathe it, and is a known cause of cancer. Diesel engines also produce nitrogen dioxide, a toxic gas. And more generally, air pollution has a wide range of adverse health effects on our respiratory and cardiovascular systems, and a growing body of evidence points to developmental problems for children from air pollution and cognitive problems for all of us who breathe it. But during legislative debate over the measures to extend the truck ban for the Legacy Highway, the following argument was made to counter fears about pollution from diesel. We'll first hear from Val Stokes, who owns a trucking company in Tremonton, and then from Senator Don Ipson, who owns a trucking company in St. George.
When people say that when they operate near heavy trucks, or if heavy trucks are allowed here and there, that we're going to increase pollution, they're absolutely wrong, because we're not. Current modern diesel technology is, I don't know what word to use to describe it, but when we drive down the Wasatch Front on many days, through our state, we're cleaning the air. We're not polluting it. And for people to say that just because we're big and heavy, we're going to pollute more, they're absolutely wrong.
Senator Ibsen for a question.
I just have a comment, a question. Diesel exhaust emissions from Class 8 trucks since 2010, the emissions controls have been placed on those trucks. I challenge that the air going out the exhaust pipe is cleaner than the air going in the intake, especially around Salt Lake.
In both committees where those statements were made, some of the attending public couldn't help but laugh. I decided to track down a scientist who could address the claims and landed on Dr. Jeff Silcox, associate chair in the Department of Chemical Engineering at the University of Utah. Dr. Silcox, a dedicated adherent of the scientific method, wasn't about to dismiss them outright, but he said that the technology described was new to him.
Well, I hope it's true, but it's the kind of wonderful claim that really needs to be checked. And if it is true, it would revolutionize heavy trucking. So I urge the people who make that claim to have their vehicles tested in an independent lab.
Is there a potential in the future for diesel technology to get to a point where they could be scrubbing the air for us? Is that something that, you know, could happen?
Oh, I think it's highly unlikely. It's just physically impossible. It would be wonderful if it's true, and I think we just need to be careful that claims like that are validated with experimentation. And it's important to have a independent lab do that work. And I'm sure there are labs like that available. And so, yeah, if they do have technology that is as good as they say, they should make it known and they'll be rich and famous.
On Tuesday, I reached out to Senator Ibsen for clarification on his comments about diesel emissions. But as of airtime, he hadn't responded. He's likely busy with the legislative session. Our detour into the nuances of the pollution that comes from diesel trucks took us away from the debate at the legislature over whether they should be allowed on Legacy Parkway in the near future. A deal is a deal was part of the argument that won the day on Monday when North Salt Lake Republican Representative Melissa Ballard's bill to extend the truck ban by 5 years was defeated. Just after that vote, I caught up with Angie Keaton, the resident of the Foxborough neighborhood who I spoke to alongside the Legacy Parkway last month. She said that there were still questions that needed answering.
We certainly would appreciate to be able to continue this conversation further. We think that there really are some real long-term questions about what do we want the Wasatch Front to look like 20 years, 30 years, 50 years from now. And I think that projects like this certainly can be a part of it. And so obviously more people need to be involved in the conversation. I think one of the issues we're having is, you know, with our residents who have families, who are working, who are overwhelmed with life, and many feel like they don't have a voice in this. Many feel like they don't have the power to make changes. And I hope that through this process and connecting with them and communicating with them and helping them learn what the process is like and experience it, that they'll start to be more active and we'll see more participation on all fronts, not necessarily just this one piece of legislation.
Keaton also said that there needed to be a reevaluation of how planning was carried out, and she pointed in particular to schools that were built near to Legacy or planned in other places where heavy truck traffic was envisioned.
We want to look at why schools are being built less than 1,000 feet from roadways when the knowledge is there that the roadway potentially could become a freeway someday. We want to know why schools are still being planned in areas of what they anticipate to be the Davis Corridor. Why do taxpayer dollars go to put children that much closer to roadways where there are high levels of pollution that then double the impact on their growth and their lung function forever? So I think that this issue, at least for me, and I hope for residents that I've worked with over the last 2 months, has awoken a sense of awareness that we can't always trust that decision makers are going to always look out for our personal needs, and that sometimes economic development is going to make us collateral damage. And I think that's really unfortunate in a place where we value our children so much and family is so important, where the health of those family members should also be important, and creating communities that are sustainable to raise those families in. So I really hope that we start seeing policies that truly support that, perhaps on an equal level of economic development, but certainly not favoring one so extremely over the other.
At the beginning of today's show, I said we'd circle back to the deal is a deal argument, and who made what commitments.
It has been 15 years, plenty of time to address this issue. An agreement is an agreement.
Roger Borgnicht is with the group Utahns for Better Transportation, one of the original litigants in the suit that made Legacy Parkway what it is today. After Monday's hearing, he told me that what was put into law didn't mirror language from a legal finding over environmental analysis of the original project.
Quickly, your reactions to the fact that it failed in committee there, and I mean, it seems like it's the end of the legislative attempts to get this through in this session.
Well, it might be, and I think they focused incorrectly on the negotiations and not on the record of decision of the environmental impact statement that approved Legacy. Because in that record of decision, it said that, and I quote, that quiet pavement and other parkway amenities would continue beyond 2020, and that UDOT could consider the need to raise the posted speed limit and allow large trucks at that time. That was the document in January 9th, 2006. The settlement agreement was the fall before, but in actually certifying the environmental impact statement, it said could consider the need for raising the speed limit or allowing large trucks.
Both Representative Christensen and Representative Ivory made a case about this being sort of a legal contract, a binding contract that, you know, a deal is a deal, which we heard from the trucking industry over and over again as well. What about that argument that, I mean, you're pointing to the record of decision, they're pointing to, I guess, statute, and there's a disconnect there. Why did the statute end up being the way it was without maybe taking into account that record of decision?
Yeah, well, in fact, they had the statute published in November of 2005 before the record of decision was issued in 2006. So they jumped the gun and did not wait to see what the record of decision from the environmental impact statement said about this parkway design and this parkway implementation.
I asked Roger Borgnicht what he thought was next in this process now that legislative attempts were over and done with.
The people who live nearby and use the trail and enjoy the fact of the nature preserve have grown up to love those amenities. And I think the neighborhoods, the mayors, the city councils all recognize that this is a tremendous quality of life asset in their communities. And the record of decision, as I said, provides the opportunity to could consider the need. And I think the mayors and the city council and the Davis County COG said, yes, we think there should be a continuation of the truck ban because of the amenity that Legacy Parkway presents.
Do you expect them to do anything beyond what Representative Ballard and Senator Wyler tried to do during the session?
Well, I think they will, because it's a very valuable characteristic that was developed with a separate trail, with the nature preserve, and a quiet, lower-stress drive. And I think the locals will continue the fight.
What would that look like? Lawsuit?
I think there are legal requirements from the record of decision that were not followed. We'll see where that goes.
In advance of the legislative session, the city councils of Farmington, Woods Cross, and North Salt Lake all passed resolutions in support of extending the date of the truck ban expiration for Legacy. I reached out to the administrations and councils of each city for comment on whether any additional action would be taken to try to preserve the ban. So far, none have responded to my request for comment. A month ago, standing on a bike path alongside the parkway, Angie Keaton told me that if the ban does go away, they might as well rename the highway.
This is a small piece, of course. It plays into a bigger story of the health and wellness of the residents living along the Wasatch Front. But this is a small piece of that, I say, that if we want to just turn this into a freeway, we might as well rename it, because there won't be a legacy. The legacy is in making beautiful spaces and preserving livable and quality places for our families and for the long term.
Do you live near to the Legacy Parkway? Do you plan to stay there if and when heavy trucks are allowed? Weigh in at KCPW's Facebook page or email us at comments@kcpw.org. And we might feature your thoughts on an upcoming show. And speaking of upcoming shows, I'm looking for a few more people who can talk to me about Utah's first-in-the-nation free-range parenting law that protects people from being charged with a crime simply for letting their kids play unattended outdoors, and who can speak more generally about trying to get kids outside. Maybe you're a parent who is struggling with this right now. I'm also working on a show on hobbies. Do you have one? Do you have time for one? And down the line, I've got a show in the works about dreamers who have benefited from in-state college tuition here in Utah and who are now in the workforce and how they're contributing to the Utah economy. Does that sound like you or someone you know? Again, email comments@kcpw.org, or you can find me on Twitter. I'm at Roger McDonough. In the Hive is a production of KCPW Public Radio in Salt Lake City, a listener-supported, independent news and information resource. The show's theme music is by Andrew Shaw. Find podcasts of this and all of our local programs at kcpw.org. I'm Roger McDonough. Thanks very much for listening, and be sure to join us again next week.